Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. My co-host, Dr. Les Olala, Chancellor of Northern Baptist Bible College, is not able to be with us today on the broadcast, but in his place we have a guest host, and I'd like to introduce you who are listening to Mr. Rand Hummel, who for many years has been serving the Lord at a camp in North Carolina called the Wilds. Rand, it's good to have you on the program today.
Thanks.
Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, I came in 1978. Really came for 1 year just to learn camping, to take it to the mission field. Came from a difficult background, and was one of those that could work hard and work with some music. I was going to help a missionary, actually as a plumber, getting through school, and basically wanted to use that just in some way to encourage missionary on the field, heading for South America. And as I came to the Wild, started working with teens because of the difficult background and broken home and all that, God started using that, 2 Corinthians 1:4, the God of all comfort, comforts us so we can comfort others. And just opened the door, and I didn't come here to preach or whatever, kind of worked a lot of maintenance at the beginning and helped run program, leading hikes and all. And since 1978, obviously, I fell in love with this place and with teens, and they've become my life, and now I spend most of my time just preaching to them, although I'm still at the camp, still get to do some of the crazy stuff and the skits.
If I did my math right, you're like 29 years here at the Wilds.
Yeah, almost.
Coming on 30 almost.
Exactly, yeah. 2008 will be 30 years. Came in 1978.
Now, your wife, Amber, and you have been married for how long?
29 years last Sunday.
So almost as long as you've been at the Wilds.
Yeah, we got married in June and came here in August.
Mm-hmm. Rand, a lot of our listeners may not be familiar with the Wilds. Can you just kind of give us a snapshot of what that place is like?
We are a large Christian camp. I think right now during the summer, we're feeding 1,500 people every meal.
Wow.
That's about 820 teens, about 230 junior age, and then you have your sponsors and your counselors and your staff. And I think this summer, in 11 weeks, we have over 12,000 campers signed up, and that's a blessing, it really is.
Now, you don't just run summer camp. I mean, you operate... How many weeks out of a year?
I think it's 42 weeks and 42 weekends. Around Christmas time, we slow down. It gets a little cold. A couple camps in January and February. But it takes that much time just to get some of the buildings built back up. And there's a bunch of us that hit the road and do family conferences and promote the camp and all that during the winter also. We have senior trips. Seniors from Christian high schools come in, and they're here. Usually that's the months of April and May. School camps, spiritual emphasis weeks, leadership camps during the fall. Have a number of weeks of senior saints, and they're a blessing.
I bet they really are.
We take them to the Parkway because we're right here in the beautiful hills of western North Carolina. They're a little hard to deal with. They like steal each other's teeth and hide them, you know, but they're fun. They really are, and that's always a joy.
If somebody who was listening to the broadcast wanted to find out for themselves more information, where could they go? Do you have a website?
Yeah, just go to the website, www.wilds.org. We have an online store. All our programs are offered there. And we have a big music department, some great conservative Christian music for replacement for those who are struggling with the music that's become very worldly. You know, we're a service organization to the local church. We don't advertise through the radio or newspapers. We work through local churches and kind of just reinforce what those pastors have been doing. My personal job is I'm a sheepdog, and that's my part in the body of Christ. You know, Sam, you're a pastor. You're the shepherd of your flock. And as a sheepdog, you bring your kids to camp, or I'll come to your church, and I get to bark at them, bite at their heels, warn them of the vultures, push them back up to the shepherd, you know. And in that, I have to deal with a lot of topics the kids face, whether it be teen suicide, eating disorders, how they live in their high-tech world, internet abuse, getting along with moms and dads, how to deal with their bitterness and anger, just all kinds of issues like that.
You know, our church has had a wonderful relationship with camp, and it has made a tremendous difference in our families and in our kids. And I know we have some kids coming this summer to the Wilds for the first time, and we're excited about it. And for those of you listening, do let me encourage you to go to the website, www.wilds.org, and see for yourself what Rand is talking about. Now, Rand, for many years, in addition to all of your responsibilities in overseeing the day-to-day side of a big part of the camp, you also spoke regularly to the teams. And I know that one of the topics that the Lord has really given you a message on and a burden for is the problem that the internet has become for many of our young people. And I wonder if you could maybe just share a little bit about that and what your observations and experience has been and how this first came to your attention.
Well, we tried to be proactive in this because many years ago, probably, maybe 7 or 8 years ago, just in counseling, in my life as teens, and I'll preach to them, and for whatever reason, they feel very comfortable being away from home here at camp to open up their hearts. And I remember 1 week here at camp, three different girls came to me, maybe one was a guy, teenagers, three different situations, and they asked me, said, "Rand, can I talk to you?" I said, "Yeah, what's up?" And they said, "Well, the other night I woke up in the middle of the night and had to use the restroom, and as I was walking down the hall, I thought I heard or saw something in the living room. When I looked in, there was my dad, and he was watching pornography on the computer, and I don't know what to do." I remember a junior boy came up to me. He says, "Rand, I got a problem." He said, "My dad and I have this little game. He has a home office, and when I get home from school, I bang on the window and scare him." And he said, "The other day I went to bang in the window. I looked through the window and saw what he's looking at in the computer. And I figured, you know, it had to be a pop-up or something. He'd get rid of it." But Randy didn't. He went to another site. So I went in and got Mom. Of course, when we got down to the office, the door was locked. When we got in, the computer was shut down. He denied everything. But the boy told me, he said, "Rand, I know what I saw. My problem is he's not just my dad. He's also my pastor. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what to do." So I started digging through the Word of God and trying to find out, how do you battle something that is so part of our culture and the culture that the kids are growing up in?
I mean, it really is. I mean, almost everybody today either has a web page or has an internet address or has an email address. And so avoiding the internet for all practical purposes is almost an impossibility in our day and age.
Oh, yeah. And you really don't want to, in a way. You got to avoid the dark side, which we'll talk about in a second, but there's a lot of good the internet offers. I mean, I help counseling situations literally worldwide, and that's just part of our world today.
Yeah.
You get emails from missionaries or pastors. There's a pastor in Kenya, and I met him while on one of the mission trips, and about every 6 months he emails me and says, "You got another Bible study for me?" He says, "Every Bible study you send, it'll help me to preach for 3 months, you know?" And so it's a great blessing, but there is a dark side. And the dark side is hard to avoid. You could put it this way. For centuries, Satan has been hurling fiery darts. But today, he's got his hands on a weapon of mass destruction. Mm-hmm. And
You're talking internet now.
Oh, I'm talking the dark side of the internet. And I say the dark side. And most teenagers, they understand what dark side means. The negative aspect, whether it be the inappropriate information regarding pornography, obviously, the way they can communicate now, the internet's a pedophile's playground. It is incredibly, incredibly dangerous. Now, God knows that we live in this world. As I've said many times, I wish we didn't have to raise kids in this world. I wish we could all live back in the days of Little House on the Prairie. Mm-hmm. Then all we'd have to deal with was like Nellie's attitude. But mm-hmm. we don't live in that day. And so God is still God. And he has answered in his word. There's no question. And I started digging, and I remember, you know, you take your concordance, and again, I tell the kids, I looked up computer, I looked up website, I looked up you got to get a Dell dude, I looked up all this stuff.
But by the way, that guy's not around anymore.
I don't know what happened to him, yeah. I don't hear about him anyway. But I came across a passage in Ezekiel 8 that just, I started to meditate on it, and I was looking at one verse that talks about what the spiritual leaders do in the dark, in the chambers of their imagery or the chambers of their imagination. Mm. And then they say this, "For the Lord seeth us not, the Lord has forsaken the earth."
Wow.
And I'm thinking, there's too much going on in the dark. There's a false sense of privacy. And in context with that passage, the Lord has given a message entitled "The Dark Side of the Internet." And the bottom line is, what was happening in Ezekiel's day is happening today.
You know, it's interesting you bring up that passage, because to me, at the heart of that passage is, even though these men knew differently theologically, somehow on a practical level, they convinced themselves that God wasn't seeing what was really going on.
Right.
How big a risk is this? I mean, what's the reality of the problem? I mean, how big a problem is this?
Well, you know, I think the biggest problem could be put this way. Recently, I was in my office with a young mom. She's 28 years old, a couple kids. And I was talking to her husband. But I was talking to her husband on the phone because he is in prison. And the reason he is in prison is he couldn't keep his stinking hands off other people's kids. Mm. And what goes on is, it's not, even these men who might abuse children, they don't wake up when they're 25 or 30 and say, I'm going to abuse a kid. They have so filled their mind at age 13, 14, 16, 17, 19, 21, 22, that finally it takes a hold of their life. So my ministry is to stand on top of the curvy road of the mountain, stand on the guardrail, wave my hands, and warn the kids before they ever fall over the cliff and wreck their lives. And my message is a message of warning. A boy came to me 3 days ago, said, when I was 12, I was addicted to pornography.
12?
Mm. 12 years old. He said, I came to the wilds, I heard you preach, this was last year. He said, God scared me to death. I just want you to know, I have not looked at one bad thing in a whole year, and I want to thank you.
Wow.
And God can give victory in that way.
Rand, how is it that 11 and 12-year-olds are getting into this stuff?
Well,
I mean, I hope I'm not naive in asking that, but I mean, how is it that a kid that's 11 or 12 can be addicted to it?
Well, the problem is parents, and I don't want to be mean here, but foolishly, they allow internet access in the home with no filters, no blocks. Mm. The number one time the teenagers are struggling are 3:30 to 5:30 in the afternoon. Because they come home from school, mom and dad aren't home from work yet. They have free internet access. And we can talk in one of the other broadcasts on regarding what moms and dads can do. But understanding that this is something, as one boy told me, he said, Rand, I was doing a homework assignment with my mom. He's a homeschool boy. And he said, this pornography came on the screen. He says, I don't know how it got there. We turned the monitor off, rebooted the computer. He said, I've never seen that stuff before, and I've never seen it since. But I want to.
Mm.
And parents must understand that once some of these things grab a hold of the heart of a 14, 15-year-old boy, it doesn't let go.
Mm.
And 2 Peter talks about these men who basically, they're beguiling unstable souls who cannot cease from sin,
right.
Eyes full of adultery, which is pornography.
Mm-hmm.
And the unstable souls are a 13, 14-year-old kid who does not, by reason of use, Hebrews, have the ability to say no to these kind of temptations. Yet, he will as he grows in the Lord, but he doesn't when he's young.
And that's the hope that we have, and that's one of the reasons I'm excited about this series of broadcasts. For those of you listening, you can download today's broadcast at www.thewordforlife.org and simply go to that website and look for the session today called The Dark Side of the Internet. Rand, thanks for opening this for us, and I'm looking forward to the next broadcast when we actually get into the topic a little more and you can give us some more insight and even some help in how to help our own children and even our own lives to protect us from the dark side of the Internet. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.